Welcome to the PSDcast with your host, Jason Lumberg with Power Systems Design. Now, AI has the potential to change our world, enhancing all manner of applications. And if we can maintain control over an intelligence that by design is stronger and smarter than humans, we stand to benefit from the greatest technological revolution since the assembly line. Of course, AI won't just augment Earth-born activities. It'll also be a great boon to aerospace and satellite applications. And that's where today's guest, Rajan Bedi of SpaceChips, come in. The company just released the AI-1 transponder, a small onboard processor card that delivers up to 133 tera operations per second of performance and enables new Earth observation, in-space servicing, assembly and manufacturing, signals intelligence, and various other space applications. So, Rajan, thanks for joining us, and why don't you tell us a little bit about SpaceChips?
Okay. So SpaceChips, we are a SME, and we design and develop a range of AI-enabled products for use in outer space. So we offer products such as small, low-power, edge-based onboard processors. We offer intelligent, reconfigurable transponders. We offer the very high-capacity mass memory units for orbital data centers, and we offer reconfigurable software-defined radios or receivers for SIGINT applications. And for each of our products, AI plays a major role. So in addition to our products, the company also offers five other services. Firstly, we offer space electronics design consultancy services to around the world, and that means We either provide advice or we deliver bespoke hardware, software, or IP solutions to many different space customers around the world. As a company, we work through the supply chain. So not only do we sell our own products or design consultancy projects to OEMs, we work, for example, also with component suppliers such as yourselves, and we provide them technical marketing services where we help position them to the global space industry. We also provide business intelligence services where we help many different types of organizations understand what are the opportunities for them to profit from the global space economy. So we answer questions such as, who will buy your technology? Why would they want it? Where would they use it? And when would they need it?
All right, so why are the FPGAs and ASICs, plus their power delivery networks and smaller satellites, running into such issues?
Okay, so traditionally, the space electronics that we've used, they have performed, let's say, very specific digital processing functions. But our industry is now changing. We now wish to exploit in-orbit AI and machine learning, and that means we need to use, for example, FPGAs that have architectures optimized for AI acceleration. And those microchips have very demanding power requirements. For example, a typical core voltage could be 0.8 volts at 120 amps. Now, in the commercial world, that is a challenging enough problem. But in outer space, that power solution is even more difficult because we don't have, for example, convection to cool neighboring electronics. So firstly, we want to use AI and machine learning in outer space to make space technology more intelligent and deliver more value. That requires the use of space-grade or more robust FPGAs or ASICs that have inbuilt AI acceleration engines, which in turn are very power demanding, specifically a low-voltage, high-current rail.
All right. Along similar lines, there was a quote of yours in the press release I saw where you said that many spacecraft operators simply don't have sufficient bandwidth in the RF spectrum to download all the data they've acquired for real-time processing. Could you expound on that a little bit?
So if you think about it today, so we just entered 2026. There are 15,000 satellites in orbit today. Okay, the vast majority of those spacecraft are orbiting in low Earth orbit. And what that means is their communication contact point with Earth is limited to a few minutes within every 90-minute orbit. A lot of these spacecraft are being used for example, let's say Earth observation applications, and these satellites are now using very high resolution, very high bandwidth image sensors. So there's a lot of information that's being captured, but there's a finite time window to downlink that to the ground for post-processing. And if you take, for example, an application such as wildfire monitoring, any delay in that post-processing and the subsequent decision-making has catastrophic consequences in terms of loss of life to people, loss of life to animals, and in terms of damage to infrastructure. So more processing you can do on board in real time, and then only downlink the insights, that's effectively edge-based processing. So the trend now is to extract intelligent insights. So one example being wildfires. So traditionally, as an industry, satellites have been used in a reactive way. You might get a wildfire that has started and has got out of control. And conventionally, the satellite will have been used to inform first responders. So, for example, they'll tell the fire people which areas need immediate attention. It tells the medics which areas have injured people, and so on. But now we can approach this problem more intelligently by using AI. So before the fire actually starts, as the satellite orbits potentially vulnerable areas, we can look at the crops that are growing there, and we can recognize those crops. We can make some predictions about the combustibility of those areas. So by using AI and its ability to learn and recognize, we are preempting, we are proactively trying to solve this problem. And any areas that are identified as being particularly high risk, the first responders on the ground can go and soak those areas to minimize the risk of wildfires starting.
All right, let's dive into the AI-1 transponder. Could you discuss it in greater detail? You know, what are its main selling points?
Well, its main selling points are, so firstly, it will perform AI and machine learning in orbit, and it's capable of delivering 133 TOPS performance. So that's a major advance for our industry. The second selling point is the ability to change in orbit the RF receive frequency and the RF transmit frequency. So what that means is, for example, you could for one customer or for one mission, you could receive an L band and transmit on X band. But then you could, for another customer or for the same client, you could change that RF frequency plan and receive on C band and transmit on KU band. So there are many exciting prospects for that ability. One is utilizing bandwidth more efficiently. Another one is even security and resilience. So we're combining the RF with the ability to do smart, intelligent, innovative AI and machine learning.
Okay. Well, thanks, Rajan. I want to thank you for your time, and to our audience, thanks for tuning in, and have a great day.